Sweat? You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars
Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, it is Friday, May the 20th, 2022. Rick, I was just told some big, beautiful news about...
Big news! Jazz hands!
Yeah, about the station. Just. This is hot off the presses. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I think you're underselling it, though. I got a little taste of it.
What do you want me to do?
I think you got to pump this thing up.
I just said I got big, beautiful news,
no,
right? Hot off the presses.
This is bigger than big, beautiful.
All right, then
news.
You know what? Then you promote it the way it needs to be promoted. You set the stage, and I will give the information. Or maybe you, who has no reads again today, can do all of it.
It's a heavy. I thought I had a heavy day today, but apparently not.
Apparently not.
So maybe because my reads are just so beautiful that it's tough to... It's
so
tough to afford.
They're so beautiful they don't give you any?
Yeah, it's tough to... It makes them worth more when I actually do them, I think.
My jib is beautiful. Why don't you take some reads off my plate? Why is it never, as a teammate, you stand up and you're like, you know what? Rothenberg has 15. I have none. Give me some.
RJ, why don't you do me a favor? Send me some of Dave's reads.
RJ, can I... I'd like to choose a few. 612. O'Reilly Car Care. Give that to him. 625. Straight Talk Wireless. Silver. Give that to him. 712 Straight Talk Wireless cutting. Give that to him.
Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Blah, 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 blah. We did some discussion.
Give him three. Can you handle three?
I can handle as many as you want. Give me them all. How about that? Just give me all of them.
You know what? I don't think you could handle it.
I can handle all of them.
I don't think time-wise. I don't think with a clock. I don't think you could handle it.
We're presented by Progressive.
You want to drive today?
After yesterday's Nobservations/DHIF clock massacre, I can do whatever I want today on Friday.
You want to drive?
No.
No.
I don't want to drive. I didn't want to drive yesterday back and forth to Bristol, but I did. You know what? I did.
You're like Miss Daisy. You can't drive. You need someone to drive for you.
Yes. It's exactly what I need.
I'm the Morgan Freeman of this show.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We had to... Do a better job of teasing this big news.
Better job. I said I have big news hot off the presses.
I like the hot off the presses because that's true. I mean, that's the commitment to the listener that our big boss wakes up at 4:30 to tell us this news.
In a dark room, though.
I need you to sell it.
Notorious for rolling out of bed and just popping the headphones on.
Stop it. Don't you dare say that about Ryan. Ryan's our fearless leader. So we go on the Zoom call every day. I pop on the Zoom call. I have a dark screen. Ryan Hurley in the dark on the Zoom call. Guys, big news. Big, big news. And how am I doing? Okay?
Good so far.
Okay. So like, what, Ryan, what is it? We have on this very station, the K-Show today, us on Monday. Let's see. What would you say the biggest event going on in New York right now is? In all of New York. What
in
do you think it is?
In all of New York. I would say it would have to be the New York Rangers.
It's a great guess, my friend. Today, during the K-Show, Rangers tickets.
Oh, no.
Rangers, beautiful, gorgeous Rangers tickets. Monday, our show, the same. That's right. Games 3 and 4, who has you covered? Only
only 98.7 ESPN. What more need I say?
Nothing. That's it. Sunday, you get a nice tidy 330. I don't know how you beat that. I mean, you said it best. I mean, who's got you covered better than this station right now?
No. And I will say this. I will line us up with any station across the country with Hockey Talk. Any station.
I don't even think that's a question.
It's not a question.
I'm doing research yesterday. I'm asking Torts questions, Cali, former captain questions about what the Rangers need to do, what they were doing. Just grinding. Just grinding.
How do you say that name, by the way? Is it Hushka?
It's
yeah, no,
Hushka.
We can break it down. You know what? No one would even be able to get to Hushka. Is it Huska?
There were shows not even leading hockey yesterday. Coming out of a Rangers game.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
In New York?
In New York.
Those are not real shows.
I'm just saying.
So if they're not leading hockey, they're certainly not giving away Rangers tickets for Game 3 and Game 4.
No. There's no chance. No.
Shestyarkin? There's certainly not.
He was,
you know what? My Russian barber told me that's how you say his name.
Well, that's how you might say it, but I don't think that's how they're choosing to say
just
it.
Just Andrade Iddolo. He's not on the Rangers.
Yeah, I don't think that's how you pronounce that.
You know what? That's why you're going to do the reads. I'm the Morgan Freeman of this show.
The NHL playoffs, by the way, are craziness. Just absolute craziness.
Tampa Bay, they're going to win the cup again.
Dude, it's unbelievable. I mean, I hope the Rangers, like the players on the Rangers, are watching Tampa play hockey. I was talking to Torts about this yesterday because I actually said to him, and you'll love this because I brought you up.
So what did he say? Well, you bring me up and he knows exactly who you're talking about.
Yes. Well, now we've been working together so long, he knows exactly who I'm talking about. So I was asking him. I said we took a lot of phone calls on the show about the third period, and Dave. He's like, oh, how's Dave doing? I said he's doing great. Dave also said that
that's
he thought
not
the
true.
Rangers,
I wasn't great yesterday. I was in a bad mood.
Not like that though. Like he just in general,
like overall, like family life.
Yes, how's Dave? Okay. The kids, like that stuff, right? Because I share my life with him. So I asked him. I said, "Well, Dave was a little concerned that they sat back in the third period." He's like, "No, Carolina finally found their game. They made some line adjustments. We actually had Rod Brindamore on yesterday, and that's how Carolina plays. And you weathered the storm early." Had a chance with the empty net, and then, ultimately end up losing because Aho scores that late goal. By the way, awful change by Strom. Bunch of different reasons. But then we were talking about there's an art. Like, it's you don't just naturally just get into situations like this and be able to close out big-time games. Like, you need to learn how to do that. And when you watch how Tampa plays, Stamkos diving. It's your captain. Diving all over the place, blocking shots. Like, those little things that Tampa does was what makes them so special, that everyone's all in fully committed. Because you can't, it's just not just 40 minutes. It's not, it's not 52 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
got to be a full 60. You got to finish it.
Well, look what Florida did last night. They wet themselves. Less than 10 seconds in that game, and all of a sudden, let's chase Kucherov behind the net. Dummy.
How about that pass, huh?
Oh, dude, I mean, there's no excuse for that, though. You cannot make that mistake.
Well, I mean, that's why a lot of people were not sold on Florida.
And Kako can't miss that open net. Like, you can't.
No, you can afford to do that against Arizona, right? Like, there are teams in this league that you can afford to blow opportunities, not in the playoffs and not against teams that are at least as good, if not better than you.
Exactly.
You have to
right.
bury those opportunities.
On the road, especially on the road where the team has been, Carolina has been lights out on the road.
They're undefeated.
I mean, at home.
Right. The Rangers on the road. I knew what you meant, right? Yeah. They're undefeated. So, I mean, we'll see tonight. Now, how do you feel about this? 8 o'clock start tonight.
It's too late.
You don't like
it? I don't love it. It's too late. I don't love it.
So we're looking at, you're looking at, this is going to go till, 10:30, 11.
You
and that's if it's
darkness of the heart. Darkness of the heart.
That's if there's no overtime, too.
Don't even say that. Why would you even put that out there?
What do you mean? I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah, but here's my
problem, tell you though. Right now, overtime tonight, you take it?
Yeah,
right
well,
now?
Yeah, of course I do. But
all right,
here's my
so
problem.
There you go. So it's not like I'm jinxing anything.
Well, no, but I have no rooting interest in this series, right? I mean, I just enjoy good hockey. So, I mean, even if I'm, exhausted, can't keep my eyes open, all of a sudden I'm getting playoff overtime hockey. I can't turn that off. How could you turn that off? There's nothing better than that.
I understand, but you just physically, I don't think you'd be able to make your way all the way through that. Certainly, you're not going to make it through the Calgary-Edmonton game, which starts at 10:30.
Dave, I pulled a quad muscle getting out of bed yesterday. I'm falling apart slowly. I don't know if I make it to Monday. How about that?
What do you mean? You mean I have the show by myself on Monday?
You'll have the show maybe on Monday.
With all the reads and everything?
All the reads.
And the Rangers tickets?
Rangers tickets.
All to myself?
All to yourself.
Is there any way we could give away the Rangers tickets to a listener, but not really give them away, and I keep them and I go?
That wouldn't be nice.
No, I don't think it would be, but it would be good for me.
I don't think it's good for your health. No, I don't, because I think you should go Sunday, because I don't think it's good for your health to go during the week. We saw what happened. I mean, you had no voice.
2 days, no
naked
voice.
Ladies.
We almost lost you.
Two days.
We almost lost you.
But that's a game seven. Like, all the rules out the window for a game seven.
We'll go to underground casino parlors.
No, but it'd be no different, though. I know it was game seven. You're right, and you win the series. But if all of a sudden now you lose tonight and then win Sunday and you're at game four to tie the series up at 2-2, that's a humongous game.
Humongous game.
I mean, you're headed right back to Pizza Suprema, and then God knows where after that.
Yeah, it's true. But RJ, the voice of reason, always brings me back to reality. Anyhow, the news is today, K-Show, Rangers tickets for Game 3. Monday, this very show, Rangers tickets for Game 4. So it's all on the table, a lot of hockey discussion. Game 2 tonight, right here, 7:30, 98.7.
And by the way, ESPN. Later today in the show, around like what 7:15-ish?
Okay.
We're going to give away a chance to pitch for the Mets. If you
Oh, is that
baseball.
Right?
Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah.
We really have great giveaways on this
Great
station.
Giveaways. It'll be a tryout, but it's still, I mean, it's an opportunity.
What was the kid's name yesterday? Holderman?
Yeah, it's a real chance for you to get into that rotation.
Oh, real as a chance. Starter. We're not going to start you in like a mop-up
no.
role. Right away you can start.
No, we're feeding you right to the Wolves. You're in.
I don't see it going well.
No, I don't either. I don't see it going well. I didn't see the 6 to 8 weeks for Max Scherzer either coming, but
no. How about the question now? Do you expect to make your next start that we played yesterday? He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, he did a good job. Did he do a good job of underselling? He's like, I don't think I really tore it. I could feel that twinge.
The guy, I mean, it's 6 to 8 weeks. That's a long time.
I told you, man. Obliques are the obliques suck when you do.
Do
that
I have obliques?
Probably under there somewhere. Yeah, you're getting close to having obliques.
Like what?
Yeah.
What is it in the side here?
Yep. Side, like right around your
like
your
rib cage.
Yeah. And then you can actually do damage. Like we had a guy on the Islanders I played with that did damage in between his ribs, and he missed some time because of that.
That's not good.
No, that's not good at all.
So I don't know if you felt like this. Learning that news yesterday during the game, I needed the Mets to win that game. I don't know why, but I did. Lead back to 7. Philly loses to the Padres. I needed the Mets to go out there. And upon learning that news, being home against the Cardinals with right now your best pitcher on the mound in Chris Bassitt, I needed to find a way to win that game. Escobar said no, and Alonso said yes. That to me, I don't know if you felt the same way, was an important win for the Mets yesterday.
Yeah, but I don't know if Escobar makes that play anyway. Even if it doesn't fall out of his glove, I don't know if he makes that play. But anyway, I mean, he had a couple errors yesterday. But I will say this: had they lost, especially how it was shaping up to lose. So I have no Max Scherzer for 6 to 8 weeks. And I don't know, is that 6 to 8 weeks before he can start throwing a baseball again? Or like with rehab and everything
no,
else?
No, I think the expectation, and maybe I'm wrong, the expectation is that he'll return to action in 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. So I
could be wrong. I don't know. Well, that's what I thought. Now you're getting me nervous. So you're telling me he might not throw a baseball for 6 to 8 weeks?
No, I can't imagine it'll be that long.
No, so he's going to miss 3 months?
Okay, let's say 2 months. All right, so we're missing him for 2 months. So I get that news. And then on top of that, Edwin Diaz, who's been lights out, has now decided to blow a save.
Couldn't throw a strike yesterday.
Had we lost that way, and Alonso didn't come through with the walk-off 2-run home run, yeah, I would be in a serious way this morning.
So you agree with me that for some reason was game 40. It was a monster game for the Mets yesterday.
Yeah, because again, this is more of. I feel right now today, and I can't even tell you how happy I am that they won, like the Yankees fan felt in the first week of the season. Like, uh-oh, here we go again. It's like, oh, I mean, the DeGrom news, and then we have McGill, and we got McCann, and we got May, and now Scherzer. It's like, okay, well, enough. Like, do we have to keep, like, and it was more of the same with the Mets, though, like how they, like the how the whole injury stuff goes down. Ah, you know what? It's just, I think I just had a twinge. Let's see how the MRI looks. And then the twinge turns into, oh, yeah, it's mid to severe. Yeah, so he'll be out severe. 6 to 8 weeks.
How about that? We're led to believe yesterday. We play sound from Scherzer. We're led to believe, no, it's not that bad.
Yeah,
maybe a start.
No idea right now. I got to wake up tomorrow and get an MRI tube and see the exact nature of what we got here. So it's foolish to even think anything.
Yeah. Well, foolish to think anything. We shouldn't be so foolish. We should think that it's going to be extended. And if it's not, then we celebrate.
Then we celebrate. We just hold our breath until they get out of the tube, and then we find out what it is.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
7:15-ish.
Okay.
We're going to give away a chance to pitch for the Mets.
That's nice. We really have great giveaways on this.
Great giveaways.
I don't see it going well.
No, I don't either. I didn't see 6 to 8 weeks from Max Scherzer either coming, but...
No, that's a long time.
I told you, man, obliques suck when you do
that. Do I have obliques?
Probably under there somewhere, yeah.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I'll mark it down. 5:52 on a Friday.
I don't know if you're in a different time zone, but for me here, it's 5:42.
Did I say 42 or 52?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 6 o'clock hour. The 6:12 segment for Rick. Time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You're mailing it in today, huh?
Why am I mailing it in? I'm doing it at 6:12.
You got the time wrong.
Oh, I think at the time, I may not have my
you got,
eyes. Are,
you got the time wrong.
I didn't see the screen right. What do you want me to tell you? It was only 10 minutes.
That's an important 10 minutes.
No.
What do you mean, no? If you show up 10 minutes late for everything you do?
No, but I look at it the other way. Then all of a sudden, I gained 10 minutes. We got an extra 10 minutes of the segment.
Only you could just defend this and not just say, you know,
and you know that you're going to... I mean, you're like, man, I feel sexy today.
I feel sexy. Sometimes you just wake up and you feel sexy. Today I feel sexy. I can just give 10 minutes and I can take it away. I can take it back.
So you are one with time.
Yeah, I'm one with time. Yeah, Father.
You're
time
like Doc Brown. You can change time.
Where we're going, we don't need roads, Dave.
Roads. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Oh, here we go. Here comes the acting again.
are you kidding me? If you hired me for a movie, I would be unbelievable. I'm the Morgan Freeman of this show.
RJ, you know at some point, because he's got all these friends in high places, he's gonna call and, hey, listen, RJ, I need you to cut up some clips for me because I need a tape. I got to make a tape to send to some producers. I think I'm going to be in a movie.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
You animated wouldn't cast me for your movie?
Yeah, the Dave Gettleman story.
You know what?
Maybe I bring in you and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right?
No, actually, I didn't, Dave.
That was a hell of an idea you had there, my friend. A hell of an idea. All right. So 1-800-919-3776. Morton Rose, 6:45. Now Rick is tagged in. He's got some reads to do during the course of the show. I think something we have to get into, because I know Yankees fans are just, you know, beyond upset, and Don went on a rant about it yesterday. We'll hear that in just a couple minutes. Are two guys. It's amazing, though, to me. All they do is win. They could have won yesterday. They were down to their last out, and they almost won that game. They lose on a walk-off homer, and it's Gallo stinks, Hicks stinks. Something has to be done. You're 28-10, Rick.
I mean, that's your 10th loss. That's all that was your 10th loss.
You're 28-10.
I get it. This is why Yankees fans frustrate the hell out of me sometimes. I mean, they're like, listen, you can be upset that you know, Joey Gallo isn't what you expected, although this is what he is, and Aaron Hicks is struggling, to say the very least. I mean, 2 for your last 37 isn't necessarily what you want. But I mean, you got one of the best players in baseball. Your starting rotation has been great. Your bullpen wasn't great last night, yesterday afternoon by any means.
No, it was not.
Now you might lose Chad Green. He had some forearm discomfort, which isn't good. But I mean, we're at May 20th at 6:16 on a Friday.
Yeah, or 6:06. Yes.
And you're 18 games over 500, and you're playing good baseball for the most part.
For the most part.
Well, I mean, there's a couple guys that aren't giving you what you want.
Well,
you know,
let's be fair. They're not giving you what you want. I don't think they're very good.
Right? I would probably agree with that.
Joey Gallo is just, Joey Gallo is one of those guys where you draft him in fantasy baseball. He hits 37 home runs. He strikes out 200 times, but you don't see him every day. When you see this guy every day, offensively, it's an eyesore. Really?
It's tough to watch. It's tough to watch.
And that I knew. What surprises me and how much Cashman went all in on Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks right now, it is tough to watch him play baseball.
Yeah, he's struggling. And I think the concern with yesterday, and they were talking about this after the game, is when it starts to bleed into your defense. Right, you have that play where he takes a step in, and then the ball's hit deep. But if he plays it properly, Nevin probably doesn't tag up from first, but he does, and that ends up being a big play in the game. Like, you can't allow that to happen. Like, if you're as bad offensively as Aaron Hicks is right now, like, that can't affect your defense. It can't.
Well, I think it is.
I don't think you're wrong, but again, like, listen, you're 6-2 on the road trip. LeMahieu ties it up for you, and then Stanton hits a missile. To Mullins in center field, and they end up, listen, and Santander ends up getting you with the walk-off. But, I mean, it's still, like, you're going to lose baseball games, man. That's going to happen.
Well, the Yankees fans, they can't tolerate it. I don't understand. Like, what are your expectations? You know what it feels like to me? And maybe I'm wrong, and I'd like to hear from the Yankees fan, 1-800-919-3776. Almost like no matter what happens, you're not going to be happy. Right? That's kind of what it feels like to me. Because first, you don't think you're going to be very good. Now your pitching's as good as any team in baseball. You're 28-10. You have a monster lead in the American League East. And now yesterday after the game, you have people calling all over the place and tweeting, Gallo stinks and Hicks is awful and, something is wrong here with these guys. It's like, my God, stop. Stop complaining constantly.
Yeah, but I think this has less to do with what's happening now and more to do with, like, looking at certain pieces of this team that could be the reason why you don't get to a World Series. That could cost you the opportunity.
But here's the thing. I find it very difficult to believe that if he continues in the current trajectory that he's on, that Joey Gallo is getting meaningful at-bats when we get to the postseason.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. But do tell me then, it's Aaron Hicks that's getting those at-bats then?
No, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought somebody else in.
Okay, I mean, that's...
No, like how about we had a call yesterday? I think it's a good call, like Ben Attendee. Yeah,
but that's easier said than that's easier said than done, though, right? I mean, financially, you made a commitment to this is Gallo's last year, but you made a commitment to Aaron Hicks. I mean, who wants Joey Gallo? Anybody?
No.
Okay. Do you think anyone wants Aaron Hicks right now?
No, and he's locked away too.
So I mean, again, like I get you can be frustrated, but I mean, listen, your team's going to lose games. It's just it's the reality of baseball.
You're
not going to win every single
10.
One of these games. Exactly right. And you were 6-2 on the road trip. Like, that's a good, solid road trip.
Good, solid? And the one thing that everyone was so upset with last year was, well, they're not beating the Orioles. Well, you're cleaning up on the Orioles this year.
Well, you got 3 more years after this of Aaron Hicks.
Oh, that's a bad deal. And you know what the thing is, Cashman, who I think does a phenomenal job, he's been so obstinate when it comes to Aaron Hicks.
Well, he has his guys.
But that's his guy, and no matter what happened, he was going to stand by him. And listen, sometimes you're going to be wrong, and I think it's pretty clear with Aaron Hicks, he's been wrong.
Listen, sometimes it works out. I mean, remember the phone calls with Didi when he first took over at short?
Sure.
He stinks. He's awful. Okay, give it some time. And then everyone loved Didi. And he was great for the Yankees.
Cashman's a terrific GM.
He is.
Sometimes he swings and misses, and that's one
and
of them.
And you should have seen how he treated me. We interviewed him at the...
He was nice to you?
No.
He wasn't nice to
no,
you?
No, because we read that...
Oh, you're going to tell us the story when he flaunted the rings in front of your face.
Yeah, he threw the World Series ring at me. Because Alan does like, oh, yeah, by the way, Rick's a Mets fan. He's like, oh, want to look at my World Series ring? And he threw it at me, which I respected the hell out of that.
He threw it at you. You should have taken it and run.
He won me over with that one. I'm not going to steal the guy's ring.
Why not? Did you tell him the wrong time?
Well, it's not my ring. I want my own ring.
Well, how are you going to get a World Series ring?
Maybe I'll make one if we win, like Drake did.
Show me the rings, baby.
So nice, Mets win the World Series. Let me see if I get this.
Maybe a nice brooch.
A brooch. Or maybe a gold bullion. Mets win the World Series. You get rings made for us.
I didn't say us. I said me, yeah.
But why not us?
You're not going to walk around wearing a World Series ring.
How do you know I won't?
I don't think
you're going to walk around wearing a World Series ring?
Yeah, you told me that you don't wear jewelry or pants anymore. I mean, listen, I'm going by what you told me. You said no pants, no wedding ring.
Look, wedding ring not on.
Well, I've got this because your fingers are fat. No,
they're not fat at all. I could slide it right on.
You know,
Until the pandemic is over, I'm not wearing my wedding ring.
My wedding night, I fell asleep with my wedding ring on. I couldn't get it off like 3 days after that. Because my fingers swelled up so much.
What, because you had so much salt?
Oh, I ate so much pizza and just, ugh.
See, this is my guy. Because you're offered free pizza late night. What do? You consume it.
I'm not smashing
like the babies.
I'm so surprised with RJ, too.
It went pizza. I had a burger 15 minutes ago.
I had a couple of wings. I had a slider and some french fries from the kids' menu. Man, I'm full.
Such a terrible thing.
How would you know? You weren't there.
Oh, yeah.
I got people, buddy. I got people.
I offered. I mean, what a generous offer. I said, what do you want? Anything you want to Ryan and RJ. No, we don't want anything.
So you get on Rick for telling the same stories. You just told this story.
That's what he tells. He does the same exact thing as I do all the time.
But I don't tell it as if it's the first time I've ever told it. You know what? I use repetitive comedy.
You did the same impressions.
Ugh. This is what he does. He's got a shtick.
You know what? I don't need to answer to any of you.
It's like a pit bull. He won't let go.
I won't let go.
And that's Straight Talk brought to you Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DPH Rothenberg is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Let it go. Let it go.
You got something to say, by the way?
You know why you can't give Elsa a balloon, right?
Oh, no. Get your finger on the dump button immediately. Why?
Because she'll let it go.
All right.
I just heard that joke the other day. Milo told me that one.
That's cute.
That's a nice one, right?
Yeah.
Don't mock me because RJ's all up in your grill right now. He's in your kitchen.
He doesn't understand repetitive comedy.
You got RJ dancing around in your head right now. I can see you scratching your head.
No, I don't.
Not just because RJ's RJ and Hurley are fun sponges.
I can have actual size RJ dancing in my head. You're going to say I asked a bad question? I'm going to step on your face right now.
Oh, no, RJ. Did you hear what he just said to you?
This is Fred Astaire, baby.
I'm backing off this one. That was nasty.
You know what? He took shots at me.
I mean, that's a real time
joke. Just wait till we get to the morning roast.
I think you should throw Hurley in that, too.
Like that kind of party? Hurley was pathetic with Hurley.
I would roast him, too, for being a fun sponge. I thought he liked to party.
Yeah,
old Hurley would have partied.
All I wanted was pizza. Let's get pizza and let's go out. No, we can't. We can't.
These guys, they don't get it, Dave. They don't get it.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
It's a little concerning that a man would act like this. You know what I do find interesting is that Don all the time gives me a hard time for acting immaturely, and then he does what he did yesterday.
This is who he is, though.
No, I know.
I hate well, the people. I hate them. I hate
them. And I love it. But don't you find that a bit ironic that he gets all over me for immature actions, and yet he does this?
Well, I think it's different, though.
Banging his head against the mic.
But I think it's different. I think he criticizes you more for the immature actions that affect your family, like leaving home for 2 days.
It was years ago. I don't even think Alex was born at that point.
No, he probably wasn't. But then, I mean, there was the time when Alex he was born, and you were butt naked running around your basement singing "We Are the Champions."
No, that was Ben. Well,
whoever it was
for that either.
Okay, well, whoever it was, I mean, that could have that. God forbid your kid is one of those kids that remembers everything, and he's got a. I mean, that's one of his first memories. Is this? I mean, this. Just
but you don't
bag.
Think like his kids are going to go to school and it's going to be like your dad is nuts?
Listen, you're probably not wrong, but I mean, I've seen it firsthand. It's just he can't help it.
He can't help like, it.
It takes over.
It's in his DNA. It's who he is.
It's who he is. He can't fight it.
All right. So obviously people are upset. We'll get to your Yankees calls in a moment, I promise. 1-800-919-3776. Yankees fans upset. Gallo's not playing well. Hicks not playing well. They can't hit the ball. Now defense is being affected. People calling his show yesterday, the Michael Kay Show, which has tickets to the Rangers game 3 later today, by the way. And Don, I think it's fair to say, lost his mind. Here he is reacting to the Yankees fans.
Because how can you be happy when you're looking at Hicks up there and Gallo up there? It's not fun.
They're on the team. Where do you want them to play them? They're on the team.
Cut them.
Steve, all right, goodbye, Steve.
You'll be very
simple. Bye. Enjoy your life because it sounds like you do.
No, cut them. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong? Cindy Crawford's got a mole. You're going to just sit there and you've got something that's drop dead gorgeous, Peter. They're 28-10. If they were a supermodel, you wouldn't be able to approach them. You wouldn't be able to look directly at them like you're looking at the sun. That's how gorgeous they are. Instead of sitting there and being, boy, am I happy that I am a fan of the best team in baseball, you're going to sit there and complain, Aaron Boone's a bum. They should cut Hicks. Gallo's a joke. Really? What's up? You people are miserable. You're miserable. I'm not talking. But you're going to hear this. That's me by banging my forehead on the microphone because that's what I feel like doing, shoving it into my brain because you people are simple.
Let's take a brief timeout.
You're four minutes past the clock, Mike.
Well, that's now. What did I tell you the reason why that happens? Is that the reason this time? It's not me. It's my co-host. Look, he's banging his head against the mic. Now, should we break at this point? It's ratings gold, but we have bills to pay, things to do. We'll be back.
It's actually a good thing he explained what that was because that could definitely be misconstrued.
I don't know if you feel like this in my brain feels like it's on vibration now.
Yeah,
like that's a weird sound.
Yeah, there's a couple different things that sound makes me think of, but I would say it's probably a good idea to if someone just tuned in that someone said, "Oh, that's my co-host banging the microphone over his head," as opposed to your initial thought is,
"Yeah, we get it, we get it."
And I love Don's imagination. I love Don's new little trick to involve, to make it seem like Peter's actually participating in the baseball conversation when he just says his name. Then he, you know what I'm saying, Peter? Okay, now.
Then Peter pops up and wait, what? Did somebody say my name?
I'm involved.
I'm here.
They heard it.
That's right.
I'm working today.
Wrestling.
Alonzo looks scared.
Not even overwhelmed by the moment. He looked scared. But that's Don, people.
That's no act. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's no act. That happened on a station conference call.
I don't want to hear you.
I can't believe I missed that.
Oh, it was gold. I wish I had video of it. It was phenomenal.
Didn't he start yelling at Michael?
Screaming, slamming water bottles. It was so good.
Don't you like we have new people that work within the company, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were on that call what is the matter with this guy?
Yeah, they're probably I wonder if what Don does in the radio is just for entertainment purposes. And
No, that's who he is. That's Don. I've said this before, and I don't think people still legitimately believe it. What you hear from us on the air is who we are off the air.
I like to take the ticket, and I like to put it in a book.
Right? Like, how many times do you get, come on, he's Rothenberg's, he's really not like that.
Almost every day.
I mean, and I am.
punch him right in the face. I go like this.
Now you're probably actually tamer on the radio than in real life.
I go like this. Punch him right in the face. I go like this.
Yeah. Right in the face. Yeah.
He destroys so much radio equipment.
Get me help.
He needs help.
And Marty Lyons,
but
you're done.
Steaming pile of dung. He'd be living inside it, rubbing it all over his face.
Who needs help more?
Different reasons, though. Different reasons.
If you had a therapist on call and said, I need you to work with this person at the station, who would it be?
Whew, that's a great question. I would probably still say you. I think you got some real deep, dark issues.
Really? I think you got some deep, dark issues. Great. So I have a man who's smashing a microphone into his head on live television. And I'm the one that still needs the help?
I think you still need some help.
Oh, my God. All right. Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cullum.
The whole company. How we doing?
We're doing good.
So I usually always try to give the positive note as a Yankees fan. I mean, I have nothing to complain about. The Yankees are phenomenal. You can't expect all nine batters to be perfect, all five starters to be perfect, and have a phenomenal bullpen. No World Series team in the last 20, 30 years has had a perfect lineup and a perfect team.
But 20, 30 years, how about ever? No team has ever been perfect. It doesn't happen. You could have the best baseball team you've ever seen. They're going to lose 50 games.
Exactly. And just the Gallo situation is, I get people's frustrations with it. I can't stand watching him. I think the only thing that the Yankees need to go out and get around the trade deadline is maybe bring in another outfielder and do something about the Hicks and Gallo situation. But the thing that I'm scared about is if Gallo's in the lineup in the playoffs, he's an absolute liability if he's not hot. So, like, when the playoffs roll around and he's not on a heater, he can't be in the lineup in the playoffs, and that's an absolute guarantee.
But and thanks for the call, Colm. But a heater? I mean, the guy can't make contact with
the
ball.
And by the way, the Yankees don't believe in heaters anyway.
Right.
No such thing.
But could you imagine that? Like, well, that wasn't a joke.
Okay, don't criticize Santiago, please.
But why was he playing that drop? Like, you were being sincere.
Well, because he gets excited. He gets excited. He wants to participate.
Well, we love Raymond.
Santiago, if you don't give yourself a star for laughing in the background while RJ's on the microphone, you've failed miserably at your job.
How is that a star? That's not star worthy.
It's my favorite part of the show so far.
It is very entertaining.
I find it funny. I laugh. That's how it goes.
No. But it's entertaining, and it just shows that you legitimately enjoy what we do here.
I better.
I love it. That's true. I mean, you get no sleep.
You get no sleep. You deal with the Rangers. They lose in overtime. But when RJ pops on the mic and you're in the background, you still can laugh.
If I don't laugh, I'll cry.
That's good stuff. Lou, no, let's not go down that road. Lou in the car. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going on, Lou. What do you got?
All right. So, two things. First, the Gallo thing, to your point before, I think it's just because people were told that we were getting with Gallo, but, like, you didn't see it. So, I feel like it affects Yankee fans more now that you're actually seeing, like, what he really does is, like, strikes out a ton. Hits those 35 to 40 home runs a year, which is, like, something I can accept. I think what hurts people more, though, is when you have the promise of a guy like Hicks, like a switch-hitting center fielder, you know, and you point to a time in the game, like Rick said before, an error in the game that cost you the game against a team like the Orioles. It's not like you want to cut him from the team or anything, but it's, like, so frustrating that, like, that guy is, like, the reason. And, like, you think back, like, when was the last time he was really, like, that good? Like, I know he missed a lot of time, obviously. He's been injured. But, like, when was the last time Hicks was like, man, that guy's, like, red hot right now? Because I can't recall a time when that happened.
I got to be honest with you, thanks for the call. I don't ever remember a time where I looked at Aaron Hicks and said, God, he's something else, this guy.
Well, he was always, like, I always felt like him, and then he had Tommy John and everything else. But, he, I mean, he was, if there was a time there where he was a really good defensive center field. Like, he was,
yes,
he had a great arm.
I agree with that. But never have I looked at him and thought, my God, this is a special talent.
Remember that,
this is a,
remember
this
that
is a good
remember
player.
That catch he made in Minnesota?
Oh, yeah. To save the game with two outs in the ninth.
Oh, my God, was that an amazing catch.
An amazing catch. He's always been a good defensive center fielder. But I always watched him thinking to myself, maybe I just don't get it. Like, I don't see what it is that Cashman adores in this guy. And I still feel like that.
Yeah, I would watch him and think to myself, why not just pick, let's be a lefty or a righty. Like, it's the moment is that the switch hitting is too big for you. Like, the morning show for Ty, it's just too big.
It is. It's a lot
let's
for him.
Let's be really good at one side as opposed to very average at both.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Rangers tickets to
big
give
away. News! Jazz hands!
This is big, huge news. So, games 3 and 4. Game 3, we will let the K-Show do it. And they're going to do it today on their show, give away a pair of Rangers tickets for Game 3, which is beautiful. What is it? Saturday, Sunday at 3:30, right?
I'm not sure it could get any better than that.
So, I mean, a matinee.
Yeah, you go for a nice brunch.
Oh. Or a dinner.
Yeah, I would. But for us, though, I think it would be brunch. I mean, we'd want to go brunch, though.
But you can go, like, if Rangers done 3:30, done by 6:30. You're at the table by 7 o'clock. Beautiful.
That would be nice.
But regardless of that, you're burying the lead here. We, as a station, and the K-Show specifically, will be giving away tickets to Game 3. That's today. Then Monday, we'll be giving away tickets to Game 4. Big news! Jazz hands! Big stuff.
Hopefully pivotal Game 4.
Hopefully the Rangers can take a commanding lead on Tuesday night.
Or at the very least, tie the series up.
Oh, God, I'm very anxious.
Oh, you are. I mean, you heard your boy yesterday. Like, he fully expects what you saw in the third period to be how Carolina starts tonight.
And that's why I'm very anxious.
That's going to be the that's my expectation, at least.
You. I mean, again, I hate the phrase house money, but you could have had no pressure on you tonight.
I know, and you should have saw, I told you, we had Brindamore on yesterday. He did us a solid and came on live. And, we asked him, you know, how do you look at a game like that? You weren't happy with the first two periods. But you won. He's like, in all honesty, if this was a regular season game, I would be really upset because we won, but we shouldn't have won, and we played awful in the first two periods. But it's the playoffs, so we say, who cares? We won. We take the win. We move on, and I expect us to be much better on.
I mean, there's
much better in game two
from their standpoint. Something great about playing a for the most part a subpar game and still winding up with a victory.
Absolutely, but I think you know what you. Okay, we keep talking about, because there was a chance that they lost the Pittsburgh series, right? Like, that was touch and go for a while.
Oh, all the way
most
through.
Most of the series, yeah. But anyway, so, like, as you're trying to, like, spin it forward and then come up with some positives, if they do lose, it's like, okay, you know, like, Shesterkin gets the experience, and Lafreniere's been great, and Kako's been great, and Hedl, the kid line, like, you know, everyone's getting this experience. I think game one was a perfect example of why you need to gain that experience. Like, how to close a game out. Like, how to make sure that you go, like, you approach the third period the same way you approach the first two periods. Like, that you're doing all the things necessary. And you have that.
Even
if
you don't know how to do it now, these are things that you learn now for the future, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was, I think Valley said it great in the postgame. You want to learn a lesson without paying the price. So you learned
the
lesson,
but
you paid the price.
Yeah. Well, maybe they didn't. You know, maybe they paid the price game one, and they still come back and win the series.
But that's what he meant, though. Like, because you lost a game that you should have won in game one because you played so well for the first 40.
Right.
That to your point about house money is now, okay, all the pressure swings now to Carolina. We got home ice. We did what we were supposed to do. Now we go and we get, like, we can play loose. We can play free. Those are the scariest teams to play, man. Like, end of the season when a team's not playing for anything, they just show up and play. And those teams
terrifying.
Are tough.
Happens all the time. By the way, I am the worst when it comes to this. And I think you probably do this as well. Whenever I'm you know, like, watching one of my teams play, and I did this with the Giants in 07. It's like, just let me beat the Cowboys, and then I don't care. Like, after we beat the Cowboys, whatever happens with the Packers, fine. I don't even care. Like, Rangers beat Pittsburgh. Just give me the Pittsburgh series, whatever. I can't handle losing. I can't handle it.
I know.
It's awful.
I know. It's because you don't enjoy the wins enough. It's
I don't enjoy that because you're right. I mean, I enjoyed it the other night, but I don't. You don't celebrate. Even when you're celebrating, you always have like the eye on what's next, right?
Yep.
Like, well, we won that, and now there's only seven other teams, and now we go up against Carolina, and we could beat them, and you never enjoy the moment. That to me is why when you win a championship, you have to go crazy.
Yeah, you have to celebrate it. But it also changes, though, too. Like, I mean, you can sit there and say as you're watching, you know, Game 7 against the Penguins and say, okay, let's just be – as long as we beat Pittsburgh, I'll be happy. But then, you know, you turn your television on and you watch the first two periods of that game against Carolina. You're like, whoops, hold on. Wait a minute.
That's right. That's right. You change your expectations. But I'm telling you, man, I am the worst at that. The worst.
That's how players feel.
I can't accept losing.
That's how players feel. Winning feels great, but you expect to go and win. But the losing is that's what eats you up.
But I never enjoy the moment either. It's always like, what's coming up next? Like, just enjoy the moment.
What I'm trying to tell you is that's why, like, that's how you get burnt out, right? Like, there's a certain, like, that's why, like, when we talk about rest and everything else, yeah, most of, like, a lot of the rest is, okay, you know, physically we got to keep you healthy because we got to keep you on the field. A lot of that is the mental part of it, is to just shut it off for a minute. Because you're right, because you're always just naturally worried about what's next. Oh, I got a hit. Great. Okay, what am I, like, now I'm worried about the next at bat, and then the next at bat, or the next save, or the next save.
It's an
like,
exhausting.
There's no time.
It's an exhausting way to live. Let's go to some of the callers. 1-800-919-3776. Shooter in Stanford. Good morning, Shooter. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Always a pleasure, guys. Always a pleasure. Good morning. There's Josh. He's saying hi to Dave because he knows Dave loves him so much.
I do.
So, Yankees Mets, two things. Do you think the fact that the Mets have Bobby Axelrod at the helm and he's going to go crazy during the trade deadline, that the Yankees will as well? And last thing, Conforto is still hanging around. Conforto might be a decent left fielder if Gallo.
He's hurt.
I think he's still hurt.
Surgery.
Shooter, he's still hurt.
Shooter blows it.
Yeah, shoot.
That's all right. Listen, sometimes you swing and miss. No big deal.
I like it. Shooter blows it. Yeah, so no Conforto this year. I expect the Mets to be...
Yes.
I don't want to say crazy, but very aggressive at the trade deadline.
No, I think they'll address the knee. I mean, they're trying to win now, man. I mean, he wants to win soon. Like, he's not... he's not worried about, I'm going to start giving up, you know, prospects that may help us, you know, 3 or 4 years from now.
Well, I think the great thing about him is he's going to want to win every year.
No, I know, but I think, I mean, but especially early on, right? Like, you come in all this hope and you're spending all this money now. It's like, okay, I'd like to capitalize on that. Especially, I mean, look at the amount of money. I'm not paying Max Scherzer $43 million a year if I don't expect to win a championship during that time.
Absolutely. I'm paying Cano $20 million a year to not be here.
Oh, what a life. What a life.
Right?
And now he gets to live in San Diego.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
How about that?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Little Giants conversation. We'll get back to the baseball Rangers as well. So OTA is taking place with the Giants over there in New Jersey. You want to take a listen to a little Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones?
Yeah, you want to talk about where James Bradbury signed or no?
Not really.
All right.
He stinks anyway.
Okay. We'll find out.
No. I don't love. Well, you know, it's Gettleman's fault.
Okay, you got to stop blaming Gettleman, all right?
No,
he's gone.
No. why would I? It's his fault. You don't think that the Giants in a perfect world would have liked to keep James Bradbury?
Probably.
Okay. So why can't they?
Because your cap situation stinks.
And why is that?
Because your twin did a bad job.
Okay, exactly. He stunk. So no, you stop blaming Gettleman. Look at what they were able to do in free agency this year. Very little. Why? Gettleman. Now next year,
but we're resetting anyway, though.
I don't look like Gettleman.
Well, you kind of look like Gettleman. We're rebuilding.
Yeah, they're rebuilding. That's fine. But they were not left in a good position. I mean, your second cornerback is Aaron Robinson right now.
Yeah, that doesn't make you feel great, but hey,
this is a big boy league.
It is a big boy league. Thank you, Dave. Let's hear from you guys.
All right. Why did you have to do that, by the way?
Well, because we should bring it up. I mean, it happened.
You're right. It happened. So now they have what, Slay Bradbury's their corners.
Yeah, I think the. I mean, Santiago's not going to want to hear this, but if I mean, if Jalen Hurts plays well, I mean that team is going to be a problem for the Cowboys.
And you know what makes it even worse? First of all, it feels like Howie Roseman's done a sensational job. They have two number one picks next year, also.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So I agree with you. Now they're getting a little old on the offensive line, but I mean your receivers are now with Smith and Brown, right? Running backs are good. Defense should be very good. They love to get pressure on the quarterback. They added legitimate pieces, all from Georgia, seemingly. So you're right. If Jalen Hurts is good, they're going to be a major problem.
I can't wait for football. We start talking about football, and I get antsy for football.
You're under 100 days now, by the way.
It's a problem.
You're really only 3 months away.
That's it. It's not that much. I mean, by the time we got baseball right now, we'll be at. And it's not that long.
No, it'll be here before you know it. And then your Jets will be on the way to the postseason. The whole thing will break out beautifully. All right. But yes, I agree with you. The Eagles have done a great job, which is very upsetting.
Okay, let's hear from Daniel Jones.
All right. Well, let's go Dable, then Jones. Here is Brian Dable. Will your offense look similar to the Buffalo Bills offense?
I'd say we've got a lot of work to do to still figure it out. The guys have done a great job. Look, we've installed a lot of plays. I think I tell the players the train's not slowing down. We're just speeding up. The more we can install and the more they can learn, the more we can figure out what they kind of do better. You know, we were just doing a little install right there today, and I told KT, I said, look, if you feel comfortable with this route, you know, we can call it this way versus Kenny, if you feel more comfortable over this route, we can call it that way. I think that's a job of a coach too. You just don't take the system that you ran. You got to figure out the players you have, their strengths, their weaknesses. Some are quick, some are more physical, and implement them in that regard in terms of the passing game and the running game.
That is the most beautiful soundbite I've ever heard ever.
You're all in with this whole staff, I can tell.
Oh, you know what? I'm all in with this whole staff is right. But what more could you want as a fan of a team than you don't just go there and throw your way at it? You see what you have and then adjust accordingly. I say that all the time.
Because that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
But they haven't done that.
It's not always about the X's and O's. Sometimes it's about, I mean, it should be about the Jimmys and the Joes. This is what I have. This is what he does well. And this is how we're
going to
use him.
Exactly. And the offensive line is going to be better this year. This is the season for Daniel Jones, because we talk about the Jets and we talk about the Eagles, and it's like, yeah, you know, if the quarterback is good, well, I feel similarly to the Giants as well. You have a legitimate running back. I know you don't love Galladay, but there's no way he's not better. Tony's a threat, right? The kid from Kentucky. So, I mean, if the offensive line is better as it's expected to be, then this is going to be a prove-it year for Daniel Jones.
It has to be, though. I mean, that's what this is. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. That's exactly what this is. We haven't done a good job around you. We feel like we're headed in the right direction. We fixed what we could fix. You got a coach that should be able to get the best out of you. Let's see it.
Let's see it is right. Here is more from Brian Dable. What do you want to see from Daniel Jones?
We want to make sure we protect the ball. But again, you can't go out there and play, you know, afraid. Be smart, not reckless, if you will. If he's got a shot on the right read, let it go. You know, there's going to be things that happen in every game. The defense is going to make a good play. There might be a tip ball. We're going to have to do a good job of taking care of the football, but I want him to turn it loose.
I like that. You know, go play your game.
It's easier said than done sometimes, especially when you have his history is turning the football over. I mean, it's tough to get past that sometimes.
I agree. Listen, I don't know that he's going to be great. I don't know that he's going to be good, but let's find out.
Well, it doesn't matter, though, because all you're trying to do now is give him the best opportunity to do one. It's okay. We feel comfortable now that in year four, we've done everything we need to do around you, and it's up to you now. That was supposed to be last year. It wasn't, obviously, for a bunch of different reasons, but right. this is it.
This is it. All right. Do you almost feel badly for Daniel Jones?
It's like, a little bit.
What is he supposed to, like, he gets asked the same questions. What is he supposed to say at this point?
I don't know what he said, but I'm sure he handled it the right way.
I'm sure he did. Here is Daniel Jones. Where's your confidence level at?
I'm certainly confident in myself. I'm confident in the team we have, in the coaches, and the system. I think we're all learning it, and we're improving daily with it. So there's a lot of reasons to be confident, I think, when you look at all those pieces. And we've got to focus on what we're doing now. You know, we can't focus on results in the season. I mean, that's a long way away. We're focused on preparing now, practicing well, improving every day, and making progress.
I'll tell you what, if being a good guy meant that you were a good player, he'd be a good player.
Well, I can't help but root for him. I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't know whether it's going to work out or not. I don't think they've done him any favors. Like, it was supposed to be the Jets that would find new creative ways to screw up young quarterbacks. But, I mean, the reality of his situation is he was really good in his rookie year, and that was under Pat Shurmur, and we're in year four, and now he's had, what, this is his third system?
Yes.
I don't think that's really conducive to having much success, do you?
No. They've done everything. Like, if you wanted to write a playbook of how to ruin a young quarterback, what they've done. I mean, Jets do with Darnold.
Well, they
what
just,
they've
they,
done
they just,
here with Daniel Jones is remarkable.
Well, they just walked across the hall. They're like, oh, look at this playbook. Let's steal this.
Can we borrow that?
Yeah, let's use that one.
One more, and this is the kind of just the repetitive questions. I feel badly for the guy on the Giants declining his fifth-year option.
Yeah, you know, that was certainly out of my control, out of my hands, and that's the business part of it. So I understand that, and, you know, my job is to prepare to play as well as I can, help the team win games, and that's certainly what I'm focused on.
I'll tell you what, you never have to worry about what he's going to say.
No, but that's, I mean, and again, I think that's part of what drew John Mara and Dave Gettleman to him. Is that I think there's a lot of Eli Manning in him.
Tons.
Now we just need to see the talent right. Come out of him.
So you have the Eli personality. The question is now, can that translate into on the field production?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like when he's going right, like athletic, I don't think he gets enough credit for his athleticism. I mean, he can make the throws he needs to make. It's just putting it together for a consistent amount of time.
I guess the question is how much of his lack of success is because of the offensive line?
I think all of it, though, Dave. All of it. Like I try to explain to people. I don't like there are only a certain amount of people on this planet that are so talented and have the mental and the physical to go that tie in together that can overcome being put in awful situations. Like, there's not many of those people. Daniel Jones is not one of those people. Like, so he needs to go into a situation where the fit is right, the pieces around him are right. He's you know, he's brought up the right way. And he has not been brought up the right way. Like,
no.
We weren't just going to draft him and he was going to make up for all your sins. It wasn't going to happen.
All I want is a definitive answer. He stinks and you have no future with him, or he's the answer and you're going to build around him. Now, if that's what it is, that would be amazing. I don't know that that's what it is. I'd say probably not. But if you somehow stumble upon him being a competent quarterback or a good quarterback, and now you have him in place and you can build around him, you're not that far off.
No, you're in the catbird seat if that's what happens.
But I don't know. What would you say? 33% that he's the guy?
Yeah, I would probably be right around that number. Yeah. I mean, if my heart's involved, I would put that up just because I want to see it work out. But, like, and the other thing is, too, it's like how quickly can you pick up this new system? I think Dable's a really good coach, and he did wonders with Josh Allen. But, again, it's another new system. And I mean, how many quarterbacks have we heard from? Like, check how, like, the new system's like speaking a different language.
And this is the third different language he's learning.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm trying to prove to everyone I can play, but at the same time, I'm learning this my third language in 4 years. Come on,
not easy. Let's go to Mike in Maywood. Good morning, Mike. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think if Daniel Jones is in the MVP conversation, I think that's the only way you keep him. I don't care how good he is. I don't care how bad he is. You invest in a new quarterback. You have him under cap control for 5 years. You don't give Daniel Jones 18 to 20 million, and you ride out with a new quarterback. Dave, you just said if he's good, okay, we'll build around him. I want great. I have a chance to get a new quarterback that could be great. I don't want to just be good and average and make the playoffs. I want a chance to have someone to be great.
All right, so if Daniel Jones goes out and throws like 34 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, but yeah. I mean, Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert.
Come on, Daniel Jones is not going to be in the MVP conversation.
I know. Why are we doing that
now? Then there's no reason to keep him.
Why do you keep a good guy? Either he's an MVP or he's not worthy of being a quarterback? For the most part, was Eli Manning ever an MVP candidate?
I'm saying you loved Eli.
Eli won two Super Bowls, and Eli Manning, outside of 1 year, was never even in the conversation to be an MVP.
But in his first 4 or 5 years, I know with the coaching changes, stuff like that, he still proved to be that guy. He showed it. Daniel Jones has shown nothing.
He had much better talent around him. Do you understand how good the team was around Eli Manning right away? My goodness.
The Giants' offensive line was excellent. The defense was elite.
How many quarterbacks are even capable of playing at an MVP level in the league right now that have starting jobs?
Rodgers, Mahomes.
Mahomes, Herbert.
Wilson.
Burrow.
So seven, maybe?
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, if the guy goes out and has an unbelievable season, I mean, like your team's just not that good, but it's 34, whatever it ends up being. But, I mean, Mahomes or Herbert or one of these teams that's ready to win a championship now, they have great seasons, and they win the MVP. So all of a sudden, now I can't sign Daniel. Come on, that's stupid.
It's ridiculous. I will say this. You'll know, and I will go one step further. If you don't know, you know. Right? If I get to the end of the year, it's like, what is Daniel Jones the answer at quarterback? You know what? I'm not sure yet. Then I know. Then I have my answer. But don't sit here and tell me if he's not an MVP, you can't keep him.
And if you don't know, now you know. I like it. It's a nice little slogan.
You like that, right?
That's a nice little. It's a song. I mean, it's in a song, but I think it's a nice little slogan.
If you don't know, now you know.
Daniel Jones. If you don't know, now you know.
Let's go to Jack in Manhattan. Good morning, Jack. You're on 98.7.
Hey guys, how are you?
We're great.
Hey, what happens if, which probably odds would say is going to happen? It's in the middle. So Giants win 7 or 8. He's really good at times. We really love him for 3-game stretches, and you're tempted to bring him back, but now you can't draft high, and everything's middle.
I think you give him I think you assess what's available, and then you give him. You're not paying him big time money.
No, there's no way you're going to pay him a lot of money.
If he's just good,
I think that's kind of the poison pill. What happens if you win 8 games and he's pretty good, but he's not great?
That's probably the worst case.
Now you're
scenario.
In no man's land.
Yeah. Unless all of a sudden, you could sell it to yourself. Okay, this is only the first year in Dable's system, so maybe one more year.
Right. We had.
But now you're just kicking the. Now you're just kicking the can.
At a tight end. I don't know. I'm hopeful that you'll know, but maybe you won't. Maybe we'll be sitting here a year from now having to have really tough conversations.
I hope for your sake, though, your mental that's not the case.
I think there's
because I can tell, like, you're starting to get reengaged. You like Shane. You like
Dable. I love the new regime.
So
love
I
them.
Mean, this is where I need you're headed in the right direction. You're
you
rebuild.
Know what else I like? I like the fact that they could have put money down the road to keep Bradbury. They could have restructure his deal and put some money towards the future and not have to pay him as much now. But they didn't do that. That's smart football, is what it is.
Everything they've done so far, I mean, how they handled the draft, the smoke screens and everything else, I like. And we'll see moving forward. But, I mean, could it be worse than Dave Gettleman? Probably not.
No. No. It couldn't.
Probably not.
You could have RJ and Santiago as GM of this team, and it would be better than it was.
I think they would do a fantastic job.
I agree with you. Steve in Keyport also will do a fantastic job. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for taking the call. I'm really just reacting to that one of the last callers. I think his name was Mike, talking about at the end of the first couple of years, I think 4 or 5 years, he said, with Eli Manning, they knew he was the guy. I grew up at that time around a bunch of Giants fans, and I know for a fact everybody was looking to get rid of Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin before they won that Super Bowl. Had they not won that year, they were looking at cleaning the house and getting rid of everybody.
No.
He didn't prove anything in those first couple of years.
First of all, they won the division his second year. He won the Super Bowl in his fourth season.
Hold on. They won the division his second year?
Yes.
Dave, are you sure about that? I know you're the guy. You're the stats guy. But
I
feel like I'm really misremembering.
I'm very confident that in his second season they went 11-5.
I would not challenge Dave's recollection of Giants history.
And I believe beat Arizona in the opening game of the season. I mean, the guys can look it up, but I'm pretty confident.
I trust you so much that I don't even need to look it up.
No, but now I'm nervous that I'm wrong.
No, you're definitely right, because that was the year, and I remember this because I was working at one of the first things I did at the station at the time. They did an on location near Giant Stadium where they got blanked in the playoff game. So,
yes. Yeah, yes. To Carolina, right? 23-0.
Yeah, 2005, 11-5.
Don said he wanted to stab himself in the eye with a pencil because Jeremy Shockey said he had fun.
You know, it's a good point by Don.
Well, you know what happened though is that you followed up the 11-5 with the 8-8.
Yeah.
So maybe there was talk after that season.
And then you won the Super Bowl though.
No, I understand, but his point was that maybe there was talk after that season because they were 8-8. they took a step back.
I remember there was some, like, what is he going to be? Is he going to be all that? But well, I don't
there was a lot of talk about Coughlin, though. But wasn't there a lot of talk about Coughlin? Like, how he was...
After. Like, the Coughlin talk seemed to happen... Well, there was talk about Coughlin because he was too hard on the guys.
Yeah, before the Super Bowl, though. He had to have a meeting with Strahan and everybody.
Correct. But then they won, and then there was, well, are they going to be able... Then they won again, and then for years, it felt like years after that. It was like they underachieved, they lose their, you know, the week 17, and then we move on from Coughlin.
The reality, though, is, I mean, that run in 2007 was amazing. The team the following year
was... That was the best team they had.
Yes.
When Plexico Burris shot himself in the leg.
Why are you going out with the gun in your sweat? I still can't get over that.
That was the best team they had. They were 12-4. I think they were 10-1 that year.
It's, yeah, and then he shot himself.
Then he shot himself Thanksgiving weekend, and the Giants lost 3 of 4. They won that last game against Carolina. I think it was on a Sunday night when they had a huge rushing game. And then they lost that game to Philadelphia in the playoffs, which was just awful.
It's amazing, man. Like, during your career, like, some of the decisions, like, you just don't, just the level of stupidity. And, like, I'm above it all. Like, nothing, like, it's a weird, like, the athlete mentality when you get to that level is, like, such a weird mentality.
Terrible.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.